Look for 7@7, local streaming news from the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Find it on your smartphone at the RJ app, or it's available on Roku TV, Fire TV, and Apple TV. Download the app and you're ready to go for 7@7. You're listening to Vegas Nation. It's Wednesday, which means it's time for Takeaways with me, Heidi Fang. Welcome, everybody, to the Takeaways edition of the Vegas Nation podcast. I'm your host, Heidi Fang, and today I have two very special guests joining the show. First of all, we have our own Cassie Soto, our Vegas Nation studio host, coming on, as well as Raiders cornerback Amik Robertson. This podcast is brought to you by the Las Vegas Review-Journal and also presented to you by Blue Wire. But before we get into that interview with Amik Robertson, let's get caught up here on all the moves that the Raiders have made from pretty much the end of February, because it's going to start there with how this figures out with their salary cap. They just traded Trent Brown, as everybody knows. So with Trent Brown now going back to the Patriots and the Patriots giving the Raiders a fifth round pick, the Raiders also gave up a seventh round 2022 pick to the Patriots. That means that they freed up about $14 million in cap space. Now, with the moves earlier in the month when they got rid of Tyrell Williams and then also Richie Incognito, LaMarcus Joyner, those are names that put the Raiders under a little bit more. Right now, they're looking at a number of about $180 million. That could change, though. We're still waiting to hear when exactly that may happen and how much more room they could get. But right now, I went over to Spot Track. Still some shaking and baking that the Raiders could do with other players. Of course, we've all heard by now that Gabe Jackson is probably going to be released from the Raiders, but that has not been made official yet. But at this point, all I've heard is that Gabe Jackson is likely to be released as well. That would free up some more money for the Raiders. So if the Raiders also move on from Gabe Jackson, Marcus Mariota, they could be under the cap by about $45 million or so by the time everything shakes out. So that is going to free up some money to sign some other names. Maybe they look at the defensive back market. Maybe they bring back Richie Incognito as well at a lower price than what they had him on for a contract. So that's been talked about as well. But there is still some maneuvers yet to be made by the Raiders, but I wanted to get everybody here caught up on how much space the Raiders will have. Adjusted cap right now projected at about 192. That would be about $36 million worth of cap space. And again, if the Marcus Mariota has moved on, that's $10.7 million. So that would free up more room. So as we continue to look here, the Raiders still, I don't think, done. As Mike Mayock has said, everywhere he's gone, they're going to be active in free agency. So keep your eyes peeled. This is going to be a wild ride until the season starts and we can see more moves and what happens and how things shake out. And again, a lot of talk about Gabe Jackson being released, but still nothing official yet. We'll keep you updated here on all the Vegas Nation shows. Make sure to hit subscribe wherever you listen. But right now, let's go ahead and get things started off here in this interview that we had with Amik Robertson. First of all, Amik, thank you so much for taking the time to join the show. Appreciate it.
I appreciate you guys for having me on. Appreciate you guys.
Thank you. Well, this offseason has been kind of interesting for you. I've seen on Twitter that you got to go back home. You did some things with Thibodeau High School. That's where you're from in Louisiana originally. So what was it like for you to kind of get back to the roots and go visit the school and some of the students as they're coming up?
It was just a process of, you know, just not really walking away from the game, but kind of getting my mind off of football and kind of giving back and, you know, giving the other kids knowledge and to what to expect to, you know, if they wanted to get to the next level, and also the process of getting to the next level. You know, great guy, you know, trainer Ernest Harvey reached out to me. You know, he started a 7-on-7 camp, but we never really had that in our area, you know, and that's what started me. That's what got me on the radar to going to college, you know, far as those 7-on-7 teams. So going back and being able to show my face and go out there and talk to the young kids, that was a great opportunity.
Well, being that you're now coming off your first year here in the NFL, we just recently heard general manager Mike Mayock talk about the process, what it was like for the rookies in 2020 coming in, adjusting with COVID and everything else. The offseason wasn't what it normally would be. So what was it like for you? Because he particularly addressed this, and something I want to get to is that he said it was really hard for you to try to convert from
the outside to playing nickel. And just with COVID and everything else hanging over this season, what was the process like for you as a rookie and learning when there was no off season?
It was, I can honestly say it was very tough for me. You know, like you said before, playing, you know, going from being in college to playing outside, then going to the league and learning everything about the inside as far as run fits, passing strengths. It was just a lot of stuff, run gaps, man. It was a lot of stuff that I had to learn, and not having OTAs, you know, I didn't want to put, you know, making it as an excuse for myself, but I can tell that, you know, not having OTAs and because of COVID, it kind of gave me a step back. You know, but I'm honestly glad everything did happen, you know. So coming to practice every day, you know, I just treated practice like I was in the game, you know, and that's how I got better each and every day. So instead of them yelling at me each and every day by making mistakes, you know, those mistakes kind of shortened, you know, as the years progressed.
Well, on that note, Amik, here, if I can hop in, I just want to ask, if you had to give yourself a letter grade for your rookie year, what grade would you give yourself?
Honestly, I would give myself an F. You know, I would give myself an F. No, I would say a D, you know, because I would say a D because I didn't perform the way they expected me to, and I expected myself to, you know, because I was kind of hard on myself, but I got to give myself a little credit. You know, I came in every day, you know, and worked my tail off, you know, and I kind of saw in a team, the defense saw the progression, you know, as the season went on. So far as, you know, because I was supposed to be a guy that come in and play because I love the game of football, you know, and I was supposed to come in and they expected me to play early, but unfortunately it didn't happen. But you know, I'm forming from the mouth for year two.
If there's something that you took away from this rookie year, what would that be? What did you learn about your first year in the NFL? Was there something that you learned that you weren't expecting, you know, prepared for in the big leagues?
Something that Coach Gruden told me when I think I texted him one day about the number 21 jersey. And the first thing that Gruden told me, you cannot rush greatness. You know, it's a process. Some days are going to be bad. Some days are going to be good. But each and every day, you try to get better. And you try to reach out to the older guys to try to learn certain things. Because when you come in as a young pup, man, everything is new to you. You don't know it all. So what I did was, you know, like I said, I just came to work every day and just try to learn from the older guys, and you know the starters just soaked it all in.
You said you gave yourself a D because you put in the effort, and we know that this is a very young defense. A lot of guys, not a lot of veterans on the team. In fact, with in respect to the defensive players, but where do you think that this team could really get the biggest help on defense coming into 2021?
That's something I don't really know yet, and that's something I can't really speak on yet. All I can say, us on the back end, we only can control what we can't control. And what we can control is making plays on the ball, you know, giving the offense and Derek Carr, you know, our leader, back the ball and get them in position to win, you know. So that's all I can speak on as of now. You know, that's probably the only thing I can see that can help us next season.
There was some talk last year, you touched on Derek Carr, you know, there was some talk last year at the end of the year after the Miami game that Nelson Aguilar got heated in the locker room after the Miami loss. He said not everyone was putting in the effort. What were you there for that? And what happened? What did he say? Was it just kind of trying to get the team riled up to win? What was happening in that moment?
Well, I think that's what it was, man. That's a guy that you know, that loved the game, you know, and me and Nelson Aguilar, you know, kind of have a great relationship as well. You know, me, him, and Hunter Renfrow, we get extra working after practice each and every day, you know, just working on releases, just trying to get better. And I remember him sitting me down one on time and, you know, was telling me that, you know, continue to come to practice every day because he can tell that I love the game, you know. So me and Nelson Aguilar have a great relationship. But I would say that comment was probably off of passion, because that's a guy that, you know, that kind of loved the game. And I guess he just got tired of the adversity, you know, and we was due for a win.
I know a lot of guys on this team, Amik, aren't pointing any fingers at anybody, right? You go down as you win as a team, you lose as a team.
Yes, ma'am.
But if you look at the defense, what would you say was just the biggest issues? Was it lack of effort? Was it lack of commitment? What would you say you felt the most was lacking from this defense this last season?
I think we were young. You know, I think we were young. You know, everybody not used to playing with each other. You know, like I said, we're a very young defense, you know. But I think next year, you know, it would it would be way, way better because all us, you know, we played together as on one. So expect next year to be, you know, way, way better than last year.
We can't have you on here and not have you and not ask you the sexiest question. Obviously, everybody's talking about it this offseason, Amik, and that is regarding your guys' quarterback, Derek Carr. You know, they dragged this guy in the headlines. Last year it was Tom Brady. This year is Deshaun Watson, now Russell Wilson. When you think about Derek Carr as a leader on this team, what do you see in Derek Carr? Is he the guy that's going to get you to the promised land?
I most definitely think Derek Carr is the guy. Tremendous leader, hard worker, passionate guy, love the game of football, you know, make plays from, you know, plays that we don't really see often, you know, so I think Derek Carr is going to be our quarterback. But like I said, I don't try to get too much into that. You know, I kind of, you know, me being a young guy on defense, I kind of stay in my lane and control what I can't control. But as far as my opinion, you know, Derek Carr is a great quarterback, great leader.
You're not making any front office moves, Amik? What's going on here? What do you mean?
I'm a young pup, man. I'm a young pup. I can't really, you know, I can't really control that right on now.
I got you.
All right, right there. We will come back, talk about some actual front office moves and more with Amik Robertson right here on the Takeaways edition of the Vegas Nation podcast.
Please check out our new 7 at 7 newscast weekdays at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Get every bit of local news you need in 7 minutes from the Las Vegas Review-Journal.
Welcome back to the Takeaways edition of the Vegas Nation podcast. It's Heidi Fang here with Cassie Soto and Raiders cornerback Amik Robertson. And Amik, we've been talking here a lot about the offense, about what the defense needs to do. And coming into this year, 2021, you're going to see some changes, obviously, in defensive schemes with your new defensive coordinator, Gus Bradley. What was it like for you to hear that Gus Bradley was coming in after knowing that Paul Gunther had been fired last year and then Marinelli briefly came in? So just what was your take on Gus Bradley?
It was another opportunity for me to redeem myself. Before as a coach, you know, I heard great things about him. You know, former football player, NFL player, Trevon Reed, you know, he's from my hometown and he was coached by Coach Milo and Bradley. So, you know, having that talk with him and getting some info from him, you know, I can say that, well, out of his mouth, he said that, you know, both are tremendous guys and great coaches and they're going to expect a lot from me. So I'm just ready for the challenge.
Has he introduced himself to you? Has he been able to say hello, Meek, introduce himself at all, like virtually or in any kind of way?
I think I talked to Coach Milo. I talked to Coach Milo probably like right when he got the job, probably like 2 days after. You know, me and him had a long talk. You know, he brought up Trevon Reed, the former guy that he coached. But as far as Coach Gus, I talked to him yesterday. Me and him had a long, long talk, you know, about football, even about life. He wanted to know more about me. And he asked me about my background and, you know, where did I grew up, you know, stuff like that. So, but I can tell you that, you know, by me just talking, he was like, man, he loved my energy. You know, even though I'm not trying, he was like, I love your energy. I can tell, you know, I can't wait. He couldn't wait to see me on play, you know. So I think we got to steal out of Coach Milo and Coach Bradley.
You know, if you go back to Gunther's system, some of it was really intricate. There was a lot of different kind of schemes, cover six, you know, different formations, different ways of lining up and all. But I feel like Gus Bradley's system is a lot more simplified. We know he uses a lot of cover three. So when you compare the different kind of schemes that these two different coordinators have, do you feel like working in Gus Bradley's scheme is going to be a little bit easier to pick up, especially when you're going to have, it looks like, another offseason where you can't meet and work with each other until training camp?
First and foremost, man, Coach Gunther was a great coach, you know, a very, you know, passionate guy as well. Before as the scheme, I think it would be easier, you know, talking to John Abram about it. He said it would be less thinking. I think just with Paul Gunther's defense, it was just a lot of thinking for a lot of guys. And also, you know, like I said before, we just wasn't comfortable playing with each other yet, you know, because by us being so young. But far as Bradley's defensive scheme, yeah, I think it'll be way easier. way easier from last year.
How do you prepare yourself now, Amik, having that first year under your belt, knowing what an NFL playbook looks like? Do you feel like a little bit more prepared? If they throw whatever they throw at you, you're ready for it?
Definitely. I think, you know, because like I said, the slot was so new to me. It was so new to me but I kind of fell in love with it, though. You know, like, I would rather play inside than outside. I mean, of course I can play inside and outside, but I fell in love with, you know, being in the inside, going against Hunter Renfrow each and every day because it's competitive. And then you're always around the ball, and I'm a guy that love the balls, you know. So from last year to this year, I would definitely think I took a big step.
How much have you been able to bond with some of the teammates? And was there anyone that you really made a solid, strong connection with on the team?
It's crazy. That's hard. That's kind of hard because I have a great relationship with a lot of guys, you know, Nelson Aguilar, even Derek Carr, like, you know, because we work out every day after practice. So Derek Carr, Henry Ruggs, John Abram, Damon, like, I have a great relationship with all those guys, you know, because I think I'm a football guy and I always try to take pieces from each, like, you know, see what they thoughts on or try to reach into their head and see what can I get better at, you know. So I think that's why I have a great relationship with all those guys, even Foster Moreau. I think I put on something on Instagram that I just made it in town. He was like, "Man, you're in town." I'm like, "Yeah." He was like, "You know, come get some work in with us." You know, he said, and he told me that, you know, he already, you know, saw my skill set. He already know, you know, how I approach the game. You know, and he even said that the sky's the limit for me. I just gotta, you know, keep on working and just buy into the process. So, as far as everybody on the Raiders team, man, I have a great relationship with a lot of guys.
Tell us the truth here, though. When we spoke to Damon Arnette, you know, during the season, he said that he and John Abram are like best buds because I think he mentioned that they're like two loose screws. Yeah. Like there's something, you know, he said it, not me. I'm just, you know, paraphrasing here. What are those guys like? What is it like being in the locker room with John Abram, with Damon Arnette? Because these guys had dance battles after practice. Did you ever get in on the dance battle?
You have? I don't do the dancing. I do not do the dance. I hate every time they put me in, I hate the dance battles. Before it's John Abram and Damon Arnette, man, it's like you have to feed off the energy, man. They're gonna come with it each and every day. And you gotta enjoy playing with guys like that because that's what kind of guy I am, you know. But I just had to, you know, because when you first come in as a rookie, you don't want to be that guy that have the spotlight. But I love the game of football, you know, so I talk a lot. I come to practice each and every day energetic. So when you see guys on the same thing as you, it's like you like, okay, I'm not in this by myself. So coming to practice each and every day with those guys, man, it's a blessing. I can tell that I'm at the right place.
Well, I wanted to ask you because I've seen this on your Twitter and I have to ask now. Apocalypto, the background on that. Is that movie like an inspiration to you in any
definitely
sort of way?
Definitely, man. You know, that just gives you a warrior mindset. You know, even when adversity comes, man, you keep clawing, you know. And my grandpa gave me that name, the warrior, when he was on this. Well, when I was younger, you know, because I was a tough kid, you know. And he always told me to have that warrior mindset, and you know, and when he was on this deathbed, you know, I promised him that, you know, I'll take care of family, you know, while he's away, you know. So just this process, you have to have a more warrior mindset. You have to be a very resilient person. So I think that's why that movie kind of, you know, it inspires me.
You talked a little about your upbringing and where you're from and all of that with Thibodeau. And you said that you mentioned it to Gus Bradley. So how much has like your background helped you kind of just find that warrior spirit, if you will?
I would say it helped me a lot, man, because, you know, like all adversity that I've been through, worse, you know. So when you've been through worse and you get a little adversity, you know how to handle it, you know. So after talking to, you know, me and Mike Mayock, and Gus was also talking about that, talking about the adversity and how I'll be able to handle it. You know, some guys feed off it, and I just feed off it because I came from nothing, you know. So that's why I'm able to feed off a lot of adversity.
Well, speaking of your home here in your hometown in Louisiana, I want to ask you about another city in Louisiana here. New Orleans obviously gets compared to Las Vegas, you know, all the time. Some people say the two are interchangeable. Now, having experienced both, I know you haven't experienced Vegas fully, what it's supposed to be, but how would you compare the two of them?
I would think, how you compare, I think they're both the same because it's so fast. It's like, it's so, you all, it's always something to do in New Orleans and it's always something to do up in Vegas. But far as my opinion, you know, I love home. I would never turn my back on home, but I love Vegas, man. Vegas is, you know, I mean, you're around your teammates. You're on your teammates 24/7. You can, you know, call this person up. So I would say I would like Vegas better, you know, because I'm more, and when I'm in New Orleans, it's so close to home. It's like this person call you, that person call you. It's like you, they be able to touch you. See, in Vegas, they can't really, you know, so I get a lot of me time, you know, so that's why I would say I like Vegas better.
Have you been able to adventure? I know we got Red Rock. If you're a hiker, we've got Red Rock. We've got Mount Charleston. Is there a spot that you found that you really like and enjoy?
The helicopter ride. Yeah. Helicopter
ride.
You know, yeah, the helicopter ride, man. Just ride over Vegas, man. You know, you see the light. I never get tired of it. That's probably one of my best rides here. But I gotta try zip lining though, man. I gotta try that.
How hard was it though this off season in New Orleans? No Mardi Gras, no Fat Tuesday, as far as I understand. My friend told me, she's from Covington, so she told me that it was really hard for her. They put a Mardi Gras up in front of her house. They did a little parade in the neighborhood. How hard was it?
It was very hard, man, because, you know, usually Mardi Gras is one of the best times of the, you know, best times of the year. But not having it, man, it's like, you know, the Louisiana was kind of dazed. It was not a lot to do. I think COVID messed up a lot, you know, but I mean, all we can do is deal with it and, you know, find something else we could do. Most of the time when I was at home, I either was trained, just because we didn't have Mardi Gras, I either train or, you know, my mom or someone would cook and everyone comes over. So we tried to find something that was similar that can get everybody involved with each other and, you know, get everybody together.
So right now, are you in Vegas or are you back home in Louisiana?
No, I'm in Vegas. Now I made it to Vegas, like, I think Sunday.
Oh, okay. I was going to ask about just being back there and what your favorite thing is in Louisiana. Because for me, it's like the crawfish etouffee. But
oh, yeah. So crawfish, that you can't go wrong with crawfish in Louisiana. Crawfish is the best. That's like the number one. Crawfish and probably, I think, nah, it's kind of what and what. Crawfish and gumbo. It's kind of what and what.
Nice. But I wanted to get back to football as we wrap things up here. Last year, you know, you were touted as one of the most under the radar guys when the draft came around. And they said, you know, you were going to be the steal of the draft. And I noticed that this year you've put a pin tweet as of New Year's Day up there that says, all 2021, I'm chasing improvement. You'll see the progression. I had a little clock. So what has been your main focus this offseason? What is it that you really want to hone in on and show improve this year?
Mentally, physically, getting stronger, faster, watching film more, you know, breaking down film, not even on myself, but other guys, you know, that also like to get after the ball, because coming out in the draft, man, I was a ball hawk, you know, coming out 3 years, having 14 picks in an NFL, that's the kind of guys you want on your own team, you know, so that's what I say all 2020 when I was going to do whatever I had to do as far as working on my body, mentally studying film, even getting stronger, you know, because some guys are small in the league, but they're strong. You know, you don't have to be the biggest to be the best, you know. So it's just a little thing that I wanted to work on, technique. I wanted to work on all of it, you know, just to separate myself and build trust with my own coaches.
And since we're talking about Louisiana, what was it like going up against Drew Brees, hosting him for the first game in Allegiant Stadium?
I didn't really pay a lot that game, but from watching Brees, man, it was just crazy. Like, it was a lot of times on the sideline that I kind of sit back and, like, I'm really playing for the Raiders watching Drew Brees. Like, Drew Brees is, like, right there. After the game, I can go shake Drew Brees' hand. You know, growing up, man, when they won a Super Bowl, I was, you know, I was a big Saints fan, you know, just watching Drew Brees on TV. It just was a dream come true. Like, it was just a moment I would never forget.
Thank you, Meek, so much for that. And I'm glad that we could kind of share from afar and on Zoom these moments with you as we cover the season for the Raiders. And we're looking forward to another year of covering the Raiders here. And we'll be with you on the Takeaways podcast on VegasNation.com. So everybody, wherever you're listening, make sure to hit subscribe. And Meek, tell everybody where they can find you on social media.
Find me on Twitter, Meek Robertson, on Instagram, _Meek Robertson 8.
Great stuff. Well, we look forward to seeing it all next year coming together. New year, new season, fresh slate with, like you said, new defensive coordinator. And we'll come back next season and ask you your grade when it's all said and done, what you grade yourself. So, thank you so much.
I can't wait. Thank you, guys.
All right. Thank you again, Amik. And you can check out everything that we do on print as well as on VegasNation.com and LVRJ.com. Don't forget to download the Vegas Nation app. For Cassie Soto, I'm Heidi Fang. Thank you so much for listening.